Next on the 5 o'clock report.
This is an American achievement.
If this administration isn't going to do anything, then we will.
The Justice Department has opened a civil investigation.
America may be the least racist country on earth.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Good afternoon, racism in America.
He got a piece of justice, but people are being killed every day. We're still being killed.
That is our top story at 5, 24 hours after a jury convicted ex-cop Derek Chauvin for the murder of George Floyd. President Biden says the case just the start to changing what he calls systemic racism in America.
It was a murder in the full light of day, and it ripped the blinders off for the whole world to see. The systemic racism.
Katie Pavlich at townhall.com says the system President Biden is railing against today is the same system he helped create not too long ago.
If Joe Biden and Vice President Harris really want to talk about systematic racism, last night they essentially accused every American of being involved in some kind of racist attitude towards their fellow Americans. They're the ones who built the system.
Pavlich says the president and vice president both have a history of systemic racism.
Joe Biden is the one who was in charge of the 1994 crime bill. Kamala Harris was the top cop in California and didn't make it through the Democratic primary because people on the left were very concerned about her role in throwing black men in jail for marijuana offenses, for example, when she laughed off that she also smoked marijuana but didn't go to jail for it.
Brett Hume at Fox News says the wheels of justice worked for George Floyd's family in this case, and President Biden needs to acknowledge that instead of fanning the flames of hate.
America may be, for a mixed race country, the least racist country on earth. We have a proud history of doing all we can to overcome the legacy that racism has left us.
Legal Eagles, meantime, say recent remarks from top Democrats before yesterday's verdict could result in Chauvin's conviction being thrown out. Former U.S. Attorney Brett Tolman.
It gives everyone, you know, some pause or some doubt given the politicization of this case and the comments that were made by politicians and even our president.
Efforts to censure California Congresswoman Maxine Waters for her incendiary remarks failed yesterday in the U.S. House. The U.S. Senate, meantime, under pressure to pass the George Floyd Justice in Policing Act. Today, U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland announced a federal investigation of policing in Minneapolis.
The Justice Department has opened a civil investigation to determine whether the Minneapolis Police Department engages in a pattern or practice of unconstitutional or unlawful policing.
Garland says part of the probe will look at whether Minneapolis police officers used excessive force during protests in the aftermath of George Floyd's death. Former HUD Secretary Ben Carson says the Biden administration has crossed the line by launching this probe.
This police officer was way outside the norm. So to try to take what he did and make that seem like the norm, that requires a dissection of the police department in Minneapolis, seems a little bit extreme.
Carson calls the federal probe of the Minneapolis Police Department overkill. Last night, Black Lives Matter protesters started harassing white diners in New York City after the Derek Chauvin verdict was announced.
Out of New York, we don't want you here.
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 T.W. Shannon is the former co-chair of Black Voices for Trump. He says ugly scenes like that one from last night are a direct result of recent remarks from Democrats like Maxine Waters and President Biden.
There's no interest really in healing this country. What we see is more and more of this false narrative that there's a systemic police racism problem in America. The reality is it's not. The statistics just don't bear that out.
Shannon says George Floyd's death was a heinous murder, and the guy who did it was convicted and will go to jail.
The reality is this: in America, it's still a land of opportunity, not a place of systemic racism. And unfortunately, we have race baiters out there who will continue to churn that wheel and to tell that story, but it's done at the peril of law enforcement as well as minority communities.
T.W. Shannon says the liberal agenda in America today simply doesn't work if blacks and whites get along. Police cam video of an officer shooting and killing a black 13-year-old girl last night in Columbus, Ohio, has been released. That video shows the girl with a knife about to stab two people on a sidewalk. The teenager's mother in shock.
This never should have happened. She's a loving girl.
The city's mayor says that tragic shooting now under investigation. President Biden announcing today that 200 million U.S. COVID vaccinations will be reached tomorrow. That's double the amount of his original goal of 100 million shots in his first 100 days in office.
This is an American achievement, a powerful demonstration of unity and resolve, and a reminder of what we can accomplish when we pull together as one people to a common goal.
The president says 50% of U.S. adults have now received at least one dose of the COVID vaccine, and starting next week, every single adult in the country will be eligible to get the shot.
We're entering a new phase of our vaccination effort. As of Monday, in my direction, everyone over the age of 16 will be eligible to get vaccinated.
The president says COVID deaths in those under the age of 65 are down across the U.S. Now to the southern border, where Arizona Governor Doug Ducey says he's declared a state of emergency in four counties because of the surge in illegal crossings.
President Biden, you should declare a national emergency and deploy the vast powers of your administration to stop what's happening here, dealing with this Biden-caused mess.
Ducey says 250 additional National Guard members will join the other guardsmen already at the southern border in Arizona. Texas Congressman Chip Roy says the Biden administration is tone-deaf when it comes to the crisis.
Cartels have operational control of our border, period. Anybody who's following it knows that. They're moving people into Texas, into our communities, into San Antonio, which I represent. We've stopped vehicles with human beings that are being sent to stash houses in Houston to be used for profit into human trafficking and sex trafficking. This is happening. The most powerful nation in the world, we're allowing this to occur. And Democrats refuse to do anything about it.
Roy says the cartels now using kids in the U.S. to help smuggle migrants across the border. Progressive liberals took the wraps off a revamped Green New Deal yesterday. Price tag, $172 billion. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul.
Well, they definitely think that money grows on trees, and I guess that's part of the green plan. We're all for trees, and so you're going to go to the money tree to find this. If you add all of it up, it's actually about $500 billion.
The goal of the Green New Deal is to cut carbon emissions by 50% by the start of the next decade. President Biden will host a climate change conference at the White House tomorrow with the heads of 40 other countries. Still to come this Wednesday, walk-ins welcome in New York, vaccine hesitancy in Pennsylvania, and the happiest place on planet Earth.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The call for tonight, well, we expect mainly cloudy skies, and there'll be some snow showers around anyway. It's fair game for a dusting. There'll be a localized accumulation of an inch in some areas southeast of Lake Ontario. Low temperatures, mid-20s and low 30s. For tomorrow, variably cloudy, brisk and cold, couple of rain and snow showers, a little morning lake snow south and east of Lake Ontario. High temperatures, upper 30s to the middle 40s. Friday, partly if not mostly sunny and turning milder with high temperatures reaching then into the 50s. Weekend split, some sun on Saturday, some rain Saturday night into Sunday.
All right, Kevin Williams checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania Wednesday, April 21st. Winter weather advisories now expired, but not before snowfall records for this day were set in Rochester and Buffalo. Some places got close to half a foot of snow overnight and earlier today.
Buffalo and Rochester, they pick up several inches of snow with a little bit of lake enhancement there as well. So it sure doesn't feel like mid-April.
That's forecaster David Parkinson. He says we gradually start to improve as we head towards the weekend. Walk-ins welcome. As of Friday, those over the age of 60 in New York no longer need an appointment to get the COVID-19 vaccine.
You don't have to go on the internet. You don't have to make a phone call. You don't have to do anything. Just show up.
Governor Cuomo says the older you are, the more susceptible you are to the virus, so he's lifting the appointment requirement for those over the age of 60. Again, it starts Friday. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf touring a mass COVID vaccination site in Sayre, PA today.
We kept talking about the light at the end of the tunnel. We kept hoping it would come closer and closer, and I think we're here. The supply is now where should be. Everybody is eligible in Pennsylvania. I had my first dose on Monday. We're all happy that that light has actually arrived here.
The governor says vaccines are a game changer for Pennsylvania in the fight against the virus. 55 of Pennsylvania's 67 counties showing substantial spread of COVID. It comes as the Wolf administration expresses concerns about vaccine hesitancy. A recent Muhlenberg College poll found 3 in 10 Pennsylvanians who haven't got the shot don't plan on getting it ever. New York Democratic Assemblyman Ron Kim praising yet another criminal probe into Governor Andrew Cuomo, the state attorney general, looking into whether the governor illegally had staff members help write and promote his book about the pandemic. Kim has been one of the leading critics of the governor when it comes to COVID deaths at nursing homes. Peter Arbini lost his father in a nursing home 1 year ago today. And he has a lot of questions for the governor.
How on earth did they choose nursing homes as the first place to send COVID patients, not the last place?
Peter's brother Daniel blames the governor for last year's directive that wound up being a death sentence for his dad.
They are trying to sweep this under the rug. The problem is, we're not talking about a moral failing of him, our governor, acting like a creepy old man or aggressive and ugly to women. We're talking about lives. We're talking about 15,000 plus lives that died, that he hid, and we have the proof he hid.
13 months ago, at the start of the pandemic, Governor Cuomo ordered COVID patients into nursing homes, not hospitals. The state attorney general also investigating claims that the governor tried to cover up those COVID deaths. A random shooting leaves 2 people dead, 1 person hurt. Happened in Allentown, Pennsylvania today. Police say a man shot and killed a trucker who was pumping gas at a Wawa station, shot and injured another driver, then turned the gun on himself. The victim has been identified as 31-year-old Ramon Ramirez. Surprising trend when it comes to COVID-inspired grocery delivery services.
Yeah, Bill, grocery delivery services were up this past year, but not as much as you might think. 56% of all Americans say they have not relied at all on grocery delivery services during the 13-month-old pandemic. Most who did were younger adults ages 18 to 24. Experts say people who work from home are most likely to take advantage of delivery services. Oddly enough, older Americans, those most at risk of COVID, are the least likely to use grocery delivery service. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bob. Today, the faculty at Corning Community College in Corning, New York, approved a resolution expressing no confidence in college president William Mullaney. Teachers citing a laundry list of issues they've had with the president ever since he took over at Corning in July of 2019. Time now for your market report, brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Family Life, Dave Margolotti.
Stocks reversing course today to move higher for the first time in 3 days. The Dow was up 318 points, the NASDAQ gaining 164, and the S&P 500 added 39. Ambassador Advisors is a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
Thank you, Dave. You're plugged into the 5 o'clock report on Family Life.
Hi, and we're back with today's Money Wise Minute with Rob West.
1 Chronicles 29 gives a great example of the attitude we should have regarding giving. The people of Israel have donated money for building the temple. They gave freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord, the passage says. Then King David leads the nation in prayer, saying, "Everything in heaven and earth is yours, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all." Then he asks, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. All of it belongs to you." You know, that should be our attitude when we give, that everything we have comes from God, and we're giving only what first came from His hand.
Your money and your life belong to God. Learn to manage them both well when you visit moneywise.org, moneywise.org.
Hi, I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The call for tonight: well, we expect mainly cloudy skies, and there'll be some snow showers around. Anyway, it's fair game for a dusting. There'll be a localized accumulation of an inch in some areas southeast of Lake Ontario. Low temperatures, mid-20s and low 30s. For tomorrow, variably cloudy, brisk and cold, couple of rain and snow showers, a little morning lake snow south and east of Lake Ontario. High temperatures, upper 30s to the middle 40s. Friday, partly if not mostly sunny and turning milder with high temperatures reaching then into the 50s. Weekend split, some sun on Saturday, some rain Saturday night into Sunday.
All right, Kevin Williams, finally at 5. For the fourth year in a row, Finland is the happiest country on planet Earth. The World Happiness Report, published each and every year by the UN, uses data from interviews of more than 350,000 people in 95 different countries. The rankings aren't based on things like income or life expectancy, though. Rather, they're based on how folks rate their own happiness on a 10-point scale. The U.S., by the way, came in number 14 on this year's list. That's the world we live in this Wednesday. Thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
The 5 O'Clock Report was brought to you in part by support from Diana Flo from RE/MAX Titanium Real Estate. Diana is a realtor who assists in...